You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton right here in Stuart, Florida, greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we've called this program for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. God gave us the name way back. And in fact, this week will be our 20th anniversary on WCNO Radio. We're so honored to be a part of the ministry. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And we've got some interesting things to talk about here again today. And so wherever you're at, if you're at home listening on the radio, you're out in the car listening on the radio, or you're listening on the internet, whatever, we just welcome you to the program. We hope you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God will have to say to you today as well. So as I said before, we're on this program. We say it every week as we close our program. We're here to raise the standard in the body of Christ. And so you heard our intro. We do a lot with the Jewish roots and the Hebrewism that God gave us with the appointed times and all that to reveal where we're at on His timeline and all that. And so we're honored to be here with you. And like I mentioned before, if you would, or I mentioned many times in the past, I should say, if you'd like a copy of our teaching today, all we ask for is a love offering. Then you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, mail to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So hallelujah, avail yourselves of that. We'll make one or two announcements here before we start. Today at 4 o'clock, we will not be having a video at the church. We're going to meet downtown Stuart at the Riverwalk, and we're going to do a little bit of praying down there today. So if you're available and you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. And you can call our number. It's area code 772-285-7007, and we can tell you how to get there. It's right downtown there in downtown Stuart. We'll be there for a short while, and we're going to do some praying there today. Hallelujah. So we're glad to be here with you as we do every week. We honor this time with you, this hour we can spend with you, and I hope you can have ears to hear what the Spirit of God might say to you, because we've been talking a lot over the years about the things that the church has been robbed of, and most of us because we pulled the Jewish understanding out of the scriptures in so many areas in the Bible, and we miss out what God wants us to understand, because we have to understand, like when we read the Gospels, we're going to read some things here in a little bit, when God's talking to the people at this time, who was His audience? It was the Jewish people, not the Gentiles. It was the Jewish people. So we want to keep that in mind as we listen to the scriptures and ask God to give us revelation when we read. As we do, we're going to get a lot more given to us than ever before. So as I said before, I'm honored to be here with you today. And my wife's not with me today, but that's all right. We're going to go ahead and do our program. And so I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Hallelujah. So what we've been talking about the last several weeks now, we've been talking about the tares and the wheat. And we've mentioned last week and the week before, there's two aspects to this. We've got one for the church, the ecclesia, which would be include the Jew and the Gentile in the Messiah. And there's another one for the nation of Israel. And so we have to keep those two separate. As we do, we can have a greater understanding what God's going to show us. And so there'll be a group of tares at the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And there will be a group at the end of Jacob's trouble. And we're going to try to distinguish that with you here today. So there's two aspects to this thing. We've got to keep it in mind as we listen to this. Now, we've talked for years on this program. I believe with all my heart the Bible reveals that God has a 7,000-year plan to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. So you think about it. We've gone approximately now real close. We're getting close to 6,000 years. When that point comes, well, then what's going to happen? Well, then we're going to see Jacob's trouble is going to come. For those seven prophetic years, and of course, when the Lord will come back at the end, and He'll establish His kingdom, and that's His timeline, and we can prove all this through God's appointed times, and they were put in place to teach us about the Messiah and what was going to happen in these days. So, what I thought we might do to start with here, we've read this maybe 2 weeks ago. I want to go read the part in the Bible where it talks about the tares and the wheat, and we'll read this. It's in Matthew chapter 13. So, if you're at home and you can pull your Bible out, you can go along with us. If you're not, please don't try to read when you're in a car driving or anything, or somebody else with you that might distract you, especially safety wise. And so, but anyway, if not, you just have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you here today. I'm in Matthew 13, where I'm going to start. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now as we start this program. I pray for all the listeners, wherever they may be, Lord, that they'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would have to say to them about this particular time that we're talking about. And it's fast coming to that point. And a lot of this has already been in place for a long time. So people's walked into places that they shouldn't be in. They wind up, instead of being the wheat that God wants, they wind up being tares. And so we'll talk about this as we do this. But Lord, I release all the hearers and the listeners today to understand the depth of the Word of God. And you're warning us with so many things even this day. There's a lot of harbingers coming, which are just warnings, to have us alert and to understand that we will not be caught in darkness, as we hear so many people say all the time out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because they don't read on down further. We're not going to be caught in darkness because we know the times and the seasons of the year. Hallelujah. As I say this all the time, we can prove in the Bible the time of the year that the Lord's going to come back and establish this. But the thing we don't have in the equation is what year for sure are we on. And so we have to keep that in mind. But if we can understand the foundation of it and the establishment of it, well, then we'll have a greater understanding of all of it, and there'll be no fear in our heart. We'll know that we know that we know who we belong to, and we're going to walk with Him. And so we don't want anyone to ever fall in that category of being a tare. And, you know, a lot of people fall away, and some people don't come back to the Lord. But we want people to understand the truth and know the sincerity of this, because there's a place that we don't want to go to. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And so we want everyone to come to Yeshua the Messiah and understand that without Him, they'll have no hope in this life or the one to come. And it's a pleasure to walk with Him, to love Him, to honor Him, to worship Him. Oh, I don't know how I ever got along before I ever met the Messiah. And so I hope you get hungry for God as you listen to this today, because we are. Whether people believe it or not, we're in the last of the last days. We can just see what's going on in the world right now. All the corruption, all the wars, all these things that are going on. And Jesus said those will be the signs. And so here we are. We're in these days. So we want to be informed, fall in love with Him, be as close as we can possibly be. And as we do, we will not be fooled by any of this that's going to come down. We're going to be prepared and know that we belong to the Messiah. So I'm going to start over here in Matthew 13 with you. And read this. I want to read this parable again that Jesus talked about. And you know it's a parable. That means he's telling a story about something in the natural that's going to bring out a spiritual truth for all of us to understand and to know. And he does that a lot. He does it with farmers. He does it with weddings. He does it with all these things. Well, this happens to be here with crops and things that are growing. And he's going to use an example from the crops that grow for you and I to learn something spiritual. So here we go. Matthew 13:24 says, another parable. Put he, who's this? The he, Yeshua, forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now I mentioned something about tares. The tares here is really a word that we know today. It's called darnel. And if we look at it, I found out here just recently, I didn't know this, that tares are poisonous to humans and to animals. In other words, it could kill them. And so we think about when we allow the tares come into our life, it can bring death to us. Maybe not physical death we're talking about, but we're talking about spiritual death. And I believe this is the spiritual truth that Jesus is trying to show here with us about the tares and the wheat. So it says, then appear the tares also. So remember, wheat grows up. When I was a kid in Indiana, years ago, in southern Indiana, the wheat used to grow, and it was beautiful when it came to maturity, like in August, and it would just bow over. You know, the kernels would just bow over. Well, Darnell doesn't do that, or the tares. It just stands up straight. Understand that it's got a black look to it when it gets to full maturity. It's got these seeds all over it, and it's poisonous. And so we don't. So Jesus is going to tell us something very important here about these tares, about pulling them up before the time is due. So listen to this now. Verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Where did the tares come from? He's asking. And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. So we got a distinction here now between wheat and tares. Tares are those that are cast off from the Lord. They're living in sin, or they've never asked the Messiah to come into their life. They backslid. These are the tares. Well, what's the wheat? The wheat are the good part that he wants. Those that have come to the Lord, walked with him, loved him. Well, they'll be the ones that will be gathered into the barn here. We're going to find out in a moment. Now, verse 30 says this. Let both what? The tares and the wheat grow together until the harvest. Now, we're going to find out what the harvest is all about here today, hopefully. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first. This is key. You need to mark this in your Bible. Gather together what? First the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. So this is an interesting parable with crops that Jesus is bringing forth. And the key part of this is to remember, first the tares will be taken out first, and then what? Then the righteous will go into the kingdom of God. We can see this. We talked about that last week a little bit about when Jesus talked in Matthew 24 about one will be left and one will be, I should say, one was taken and one was left. But taken is what they're taking in judgment. First of all, that's it. And the ones that are left will go into the kingdom of God in their physical bodies. And there's going to be a group at the end that will. Hallelujah. So we mentioned before, we've got to keep this in mind. God has two programs here we've got to consider. He's got a group with the ecclesia, as we talked about up front, the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And there's another group that will be looked at the end, which are the Jewish people that will come in. And that's what the 7 years of Jacob's trouble is all about. It's his mercy and grace to bring his people to the Messiah. He's given them all that time, another 7 years, to accept him. And so we talked pretty much last week a little bit about at the end. But I'd like to kind of delve in today what's going to happen at the beginning of Jacob's trouble. So before we do that, let's look at this, because Jesus then explains this parable to his disciples. And verse 36 of the same chapter says this. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered, Yeshua answered and said unto them, He that soweth a good seed is the Son of Man. Now what's that? We know that's Yeshua. What's his seed? The Word of God. He's sowing his seed to teach us and show us what Yeshua came to do, and to bring salvation to all mankind. Now, verse 38, the field, he says, is the world. So when we hear talk about a field, we're talking about the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. He's talking about the Jews. Remember the audience who he's talking to here in the Gospels. He's talking to the Jewish people, okay? The Gentiles have not come in at all yet. So I'll read this again. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. These are his people, the chosen, the elect. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. This is who? The enemy, which is Hasatan, Satan. Now, verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Wow. As therefore the tares are gathered, remember it says first, are gathered first and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Same thing's going to happen here at the end with this, giving him this example. We're going to have two aspects of this we talked about up front. There's going to be one at the beginning of Jacob's trouble and one at the end of Jacob's trouble. Now, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, listen to this, all things that offend, and them which do what iniquity. So we got those that are offended by the Word of God, don't want to come to Christ at all. And then we got those that are in total sin, would never come. And then we got the group in the church even that's fallen, they can fall away. And it was it's even in talking about Israel at the end of Jacob's trouble. They could fall away as well. And so they come to the place where there's the iniquities there, the sins in their lives, and what's going to happen? Well, they're going to be taken in judgments. What's going to happen? We just read this right here. First, the tares will be gathered up into bundles to be burned. And so this is very important to understand this. I'm going to read verse 41 again. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, these are the reapers, and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Now he says out of his kingdom. So it's his kingdom being established. So we got this group that's here, the offended ones with the Word of God. And one of the other Gospels says that they're going to fall away because they're offended by the Word of God. And them which do iniquity, their iniquity, which are in sin. Verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Okay, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So this is what this is referring to, a place called, where's it at? It's in the bottom, in the middle of the earth, called hell. Hasatan's wanting people to come to that place. That's what his purpose is, to try to destroy as many as he can. He don't want anybody to come to the Lord. You know, if you don't know the Lord, well, he kind of leaves you alone because you're already lost. But once you come, then he hates you. He hates God and he hates you because you're a lover of God. And so his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But we know that Yeshua came that we might not be destroyed in any way, shape, or form. Hallelujah. That he's going to bless us abundantly as we walk with him. And so this is what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy as many as he can. And so we got to be on guard, walk by faith, trust the Lord in everything that we do because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And so he's trying to stop all that. And as the days go by, the closer we get to the end, the more over time he's going to work in every area of people's lives. He'll use anything to try to draw us away. I've said this many times at our church, that if you give the devil an inch, you ask Satan an inch, he's going to become a ruler. And we don't want him to become a ruler. So we trust the Lord, we walk in faith, and we forbid all that to happen. As we walk with the Lord, we're going to be in a wonderful place. Now, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth. Remember now, the tares are going to be taken away. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this is a very important parable to understand this about the tares and the wheat. And I want to talk about this. Last week, we pretty much covered a lot about what's going to happen at the end of Jacob's trouble. Because we know we're going to have the same thing again. When it comes down to that last year of Jacob's trouble, the seventh year, in the fall festivals, starting, I believe, with all my heart from the scriptures, at Rosh Hashanah or trumpets, there's going to be another resurrection. Not a catching away, but a resurrection of all the first covenant people, and then the first covenant that walked righteous with God that have died. They will be resurrected. All those that are martyred during Jacob's trouble for believing in Christ Jesus and they will also be resurrected again into supernatural life. We know this is what it's all about, the resurrection. And so, and then God gives Israel from that day on trumpets of the last year of Jacob's trouble, he gives them another 10 days to come to the Messiah. And it's called the days of awe because they know it's a time of the awesomeness of God, what will happen. And we understand Jewish history. At trumpets, all the gates in Jesus' day were all open in the temple, drawing people to come in. You can read Isaiah chapter 26 where it says, open the gates for the righteous to come in. And those gates are open for those days. And then at the end of the 10th day, when it comes just before the Day of Atonement, on that day, then the gates are slowly closed. And when they're fully closed, it shows that everyone at that time will be sealed in their fate. They either accepted Yeshua the Messiah or they didn't. And so what's going to happen? They'll either be saved or they'll be lost. And so this is the purpose of what God's trying to show us with this. And once the gates close on the Day of Atonement, because we've talked about this a lot on our program over the years, I believe that the Day of Atonement is a sign to the nation of Israel. It's their corporate salvation for those that will come. And you can read Leviticus chapter 16. You have a whole chapter about the Day of Atonement, how important it was. And so I believe that's the day, that's going to be the day that the Lord will come back and put his feet on, not in the sky, but put his feet on the Mount of Olives at the end of Jacob's trouble. So he's given them those 10 days of mercy and grace and kindness to come. He's drawing them, he's wooing them. But we know at mid-tribulation, then all hell's going to break loose on this earth. And with so many things, it's the last 3.5 years come into place. And so we talked about what's going to happen with Israel, but we mentioned it last week. There'll be some people there also. If they don't come to Christ during those last 10 days or sometime during Jacob's trouble, what's going to happen? They will be a tear. They're going to be gathered up and brought to judgment. And that's what we don't want to see. We want to see all the Jewish people come out. My prayer is that they all would get saved and not have to go through this terrible time. But the Bible says there's going to be a lot of them that will not come to Christ. And so what's going to happen? They will go through Jacob's trouble. But thank God there'll be a lot of them that will be saved, but there's going to be a lot of them that will be lost. The scriptures say over there that some of them are so mad they're going to shake their fist at God, you know. And so remember this book of Revelation. The key thing with the book of Revelation is it's talking about the Jewish people. We're not in the picture. Believe me, brothers and sisters. From Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, John has the vision of being caught up into heaven. And then we see that God is going to turn to Israel at that particular time. And so Jacob's trouble reveals these three appointed times in the last days. What is it? Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles is all revealed. And so that will all be filled in those last few days of Jacob's trouble on that seventh year. But we want to see all the Jewish people become the wheat that God's looking for, the wheat to come. But there will be a lot of them that will be tares, and they will be lost. We know that. And I mentioned this last week. We talked about, Jesus was talking about the one, two were in the field. One was taken, one was left. And we've heard this so many times, and I have over the years, that people talk about it, believing it's the picture or the teaching about the catching away of the church. That's not what it's about. It's not about this. This is revealed at the end of Jacob's trouble. So what's God doing? He's wanting to call those to become wheat and go in to his barn. And so it's not about anything else but that. So the ones that are taken will be taken in judgment, because we read right here a moment ago in Matthew 13, verse 30, that first the tares will be gathered and bundled together and to be burnt in the fire, which means they'll be lost. So they're going to be taken in judgment. Those that left, will be left, are going to go into the kingdom in their physical and mortal bodies at the end of Jacob's trouble. And there'll be a lot there. The scriptures reveal all through Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of all the things that are going to be done in the kingdom of God after Yeshua comes back. So there's going to be a group of people on the earth here. And so we want everyone. My desire is that all of you that are listening on this radio program right now, if you've never asked Yeshua in your life, please get before the Lord. Ask him. Say, Lord, are you truly my Messiah? And you'll hear from him. I believe he'll speak to you in that area, in your inner man. And then you come to the Messiah, and you'll benefit. You'll miss all this mess that's going to come upon the earth. And all we have to do is ask. And he says, ask and you shall receive. Ask. And if there's someone listening today that's known the Lord and you're just kind of haphazardly walking along with the Lord, you're not doing the things that you should be doing. You're not going to church. You're not reading your Bible. A lot of things you're not doing that you should be doing. Well, you're in a dangerous area. And so you can return. Ask him. Say, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. I've been kind of backslidden. I haven't done the things that you've called me to do. And I'm not doing the important things that needs to be done in my life to walk with you and to trust you. And he'll be right there. He'll bring you back to that place. His arm is never too short to grab hold of you and bring you back to that place. So we want to know for sure, who we belong to and where we're going. As I said before, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. We don't want to go there in any way, shape, or form. And so this is what the warnings are all about. And so at the end, Jesus gave Israel those extra 7 days at the very end to come to the Lord. It's his mercy and his grace and his kindness. But one day, those gates, as I said before, will be closed. And it's going to be all over again. This is why we can read over in Joel chapter 2 over there about the priest weeping between the porch and the altar in those last days. You read the scriptures, it's referring to the last days, because they know the gates are beginning to be closed. And there's many, many people that did not come to the Messiah. And so we want to pray that won't happen. But the Bible says there's going to be an awful lot of people that's going to be lost because of not receiving the Messiah or making an attempt and praying a prayer and asking him to come into your life, and then you don't commit to that. You don't follow through with it. See, there's a commitment you have to follow through. If you're born again, you have to follow through. Walk with the Lord day by day, every single day of your life, and to know that he's in charge. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now for someone, if they're listening right now, and they're in a backslidden state, or if they've never come to Christ, they just happen to stop on this station right now. Lord, I would just pray. By your Spirit, just draw them to realize that they need you more than their next breath. And so we thank you, Lord, for salvation to come. All they have to do is just say, Lord, I realize that I'm a mess. that I can't save myself. If I ever did anything, one thing wrong, I need a Savior, and you're the Savior. You're the way, the truth, and life, and you said that no man cometh to the Father except by you. And so I pray if someone's listening today, let that word prick them in the heart, like when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost over there in Acts chapter 2, how they got pricked in the heart. And they said, what must we do to be saved? We're telling you right now what you must do, to be saved. And it's all about Yeshua. It's all about Him. There's no other way into the kingdom of God. We can hear in the world all these different religious groups. People think there's different ways to get to heaven. No, there's only one way. And I always think about, I've done a lot of funerals in my time with the Lord. But, you know, every time they have a funeral, everybody thinks that person that died is going to go to heaven. That's not necessarily true. That person has to know in their heart before they die who they belong to. And after they die, not one thing can be done about it. And so we want people to go to the point of understanding that Jesus has to be the center focus of their life. And then when we know people that walk with the Lord, well, then when we have a funeral, well, we know where they're going to go, because it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's my desire for this program, as we raise the standard here again today, is that everyone listening within this program, wherever it goes, wherever you're listening, I pray that every one of you knows the Messiah in a personal relationship with Him. It's not about a church or some organization. It's about a personal relationship with the Father, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's relationship. So if you don't have that, all it takes is a moment of time and to be sincere in your heart, and that can all be changed. And He'll bring you right into His loving arms, and you'll know that you know that you know that you'll be saved. So I love you, Lord. Touch everyone that's listening today, Lord, that they might understand the seriousness of this. A lot of people don't take things serious enough, but this is important. This is life and death right here. I'm reminded when in the first covenant, after God gave all the commandments and everything, and Moses spoke and told them all from God, and he said, today I set before you life and death. You choose. Well, hey, I'm giving you life and death right here on the radio today. Without Yeshua, it's going to be death. It's going to be separation from God forever. But if you come to the Yeshua with a true heart, follow Him, love Him, pick up your cross, do the things He's asking you to do, pray with Him, hallelujah, spend time with Him, well, then you're going to be in a good place. And so, Lord, we just thank You that those people will come and be a part of this kingdom today. You know, the kingdom is not here yet in a natural realm, but the kingdom of God comes within us. It tells us in the Gospel of Luke. Luke says that the kingdom of God comes without observation. He comes into our heart, and then He begins to establish things within us, and we grow and mature and understand the Word of God, and we know the things that God wants us to do. We have the Torah to teach us how to walk righteous and holy with God, to stay away from certain things. You've given us all the instructions to have a holy life, and so that's what we want to run after. We're going to run after You, and so we thank You. So I thank You for anyone today that's made a decision right here today while I'm talking. And if you have, please give us a call. I'd love to talk with you, maybe encourage you a little bit more. Because, you know, when you first come, the devil's going to come with everything he's got to try to stop you. He's going to try to knock you off of the path that God's just called you to. So we have to make a commitment. So when you come to Him, commit your life to Him from that day forward. I can remember the day I got saved on the side of the road in the rain one morning. And I remember praying, because I'd never prayed at all. I just said, Lord, forgive me my sins, and today I'm going to commit my life to You from this day forward. And that's what I did. I committed my life to Him, and I've been focused on Him all these years. And so that's what it takes. No matter how long you've been with the Lord, you know, if you're only 2 years or a year with Him or whatever, or 15 years, if you're slipping away, oh, all you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. I'm slipping away. Come and touch me. I want to be renewed with You. And that's all it takes. And so we just bow our heads and we thank the Lord that we have the grace and the mercy given to us from God the Father through His Son, that we can be in the kingdom of God and we can be saved. And what are we saved from? What are we saved from? We're saved from our sins. We know that. And then the benefit of all that is we're saved from a place called hell. We don't want to go there in any way, shape, or form. My desire is that no one would ever go there. And if you read Matthew chapter 25, it was never intended for a human being. It was intended for Satan and the fallen angels, nobody else. But see, God's a righteous God. So if we don't do things His way, well, then we're in a bad place. We have to obey Him, obey Him, obey Him. And so that's the important thing. Well, anyway, I went down a little bunny trail with you about this, but it's so important, the message of salvation. The message of salvation. And I was late in life before I came as well. If I would have died, you know, I was in the Navy over in Vietnam and all that. And if I would have been killed over there, I would have been lost. I would have went straight to hell because I didn't know God, didn't care about knowing God at all. And so, you know, it's a scary thing to think back. What if I wouldn't have done that? What if I wouldn't have one day made that decision and said, Lord, I need you in my life more than my next breath? Well, thank you, Lord, he came to me. I know that. And he spoke to me that day on the side of the road. I just heard it ring through my body and said, Gene, why don't you just turn your life over to my son and begin to walk with him this day? And I said, I will, Lord, I will, I will, I will. And so that's what I did. And I made that commitment. That commitment. And I'm going to commit my life to you forever. And that's what God wants. He wants us to make a commitment. No falling away. To serve him day and night. Hallelujah. We're all right. Back to our topic here. I just get excited talking about salvation because so many people take it kind of lightly. You know. Well, maybe someday if I get my life right, well, then I'm going to come. Well, you can't get your life right. Come as you are. Remember that song? Come as you are. And then you come as you are. And then he'll clean you up. Hallelujah. And so that's what I'm trying to catch some fish right now on the radio here. Somebody out there that needs the Lord. I'm going to catch the fish. Well, who's going to clean that fish? You. Who will be to clean you up? It's going to be Yeshua. He's going to be the one that cleans you up. You read his word, you'll find out things in your life at that point, this point in time, or maybe before, that you need to ask the Lord to forgive you from and come to him. And he'll wipe away all your sins. They'll be as far as the east as the west, it says in the Bible, once you come and make that decision. And once you come, well, then you belong to God. And if you miss it, and we're all going to miss it from time to time, we know that, but all we have to do is ask him, confess our sin before him, as it says in 1 John. Just confess, acknowledge that sin. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is the righteous one. He's the one. There's no other way. He's our Redeemer. So hallelujah. I hope we get a phone call or two today that somebody got touched just thinking about how important salvation is. You know, it's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. It's more important where you go to school, where you go to college, where you go to work, who you marry. You know, it's more important than any of that. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Where you live, it's not where you live. It's you got to live in him. And so I prayed, Father, as I prayed a moment ago, that they will just bow their hearts to you and come and say, Lord, Father, I need your son Yeshua more than my next breath. And then give your life to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, we were talking about this. Now, as I mentioned last week, we talked about the tares and the wheat at the end of Jacob's trouble. I just kind of reviewed a little bit of that with you. But let's go to the beginning of Jacob's trouble now. We haven't thought much about that here in the last few months as we've talked on the radio. Well, there'll be tares and wheat at the beginning. Just think about this. There's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday morning. And you know what? Deep in their heart, they're not walking with God. So what are they? They're really a tare. They're kind of making a mockery out of what God came to do through his son. And, you know, just kind of haphazardly. No, just going to church every Sunday is not the answer. They go out after they leave there, and they go out to their jobs and their places they go, and they live just like they did before. So maybe a few things change, but not a whole lot. And so what do they go to church for? To pacify their conscience. But they claim they've made a decision with the Lord, but they don't. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on the radio. I think it's important to mention today because a lot of people in the church, some of the denominations are all against the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which comes with an evidence of speaking in a heavenly language. Well, let me tell you, I believe this with all my heart now as I've studied the Word of God all these years. The reason so many Christians claim to be Christians are falling away are because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the power that we need in our life. That's the power that gives us the ability to walk it out with you. Thank you, Lord. So you think about it. All the First Covenant people, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. It had not been sent yet. And so they were trying to walk it out in their physical realm and what they thought to the best of their ability. And a lot of them did pretty well, but a lot of them did terrible. And so, but there's going to be a separation. We already talked about that, of the tares and the wheat at the end. But I'm talking about the group now at the beginning, which is the church, the ecclesia. And remember, the ecclesia is a called out group. It can be Jews or Gentiles who know the Messiah. And so we got a lot of people today that are just going to church to pacify themselves and to feel kind of maybe ease some of the guilt. They know that they're not where they should be. But see, those are the ones that's going to be left. Those will be the tares because they're not serving the Lord. And he's going to gather them up, it says it, and put and bundle them, and they're going to be put in the fire. And so we want to, we know at the beginning of Jacob's trouble that won't happen with the church. Okay, because if we're in the church, that means we've come to Christ, and so that won't happen to us also until what? Till the very end. But we can think about something at the beginning of Jacob's trouble. We think about all that. When I come to the Lord, well, then I might have been a terror before because I didn't know the Lord, so I was a terror. But when I come to the Lord, I'm no longer a terror, and then I walk with Him and serve my whole life with Him and trusting Him, and so I'm part of the wheat. And then at the end, when He gathers all this in, what's going to happen? We'll be in the right place. So we want to stay away from that. But we have a lot of that in the church today. You know, pacifying their conscience because of the way they live. Christians claiming to be Christians, living together, not married, or out committing adultery or fornication, all the stuff that we have today that's going on in the ecclesia. And those people are terrors until they come to a decision on their part to make a decision to either go with the Lord or not. And if your feelings and your emotions and all the things that you feel are more important than walking with Christ, well, then you're in a bad place because you will be a tear at the end. And so we got to knock down all that. It's not about our emotions or how we feel. It doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is what the Word of God says. And so I walk in that place with the Lord. And as we do, well, then we're going to be blessed. And one day we're going to hear that shout from heaven, that shofar blow, and the Lord's going to call us up to Him when the catching away comes. First, there'll be a resurrection out from among the dead. At the beginning, we're talking about the beginning of Jacob's trouble. And then we that are alive and remain in the Messiah, walking with Him day by day, we will be snatched off this earth and we'll go to glory. We'll be in that heavenly realm up there for 7 years until that we all come back with the Lord at the end. Read Revelation chapter 19 and you'll have all your answers there. Hallelujah. That's where we got the name of the church as well, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so this is what God's desire is. So we're going to come to that point, and it'll be at the end of 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth. We got to be getting close. We don't know exactly what year we're on, but it's getting close. Well, then when that shout comes and all that, the only ones that's going to go out are the ones, the true believers, that remnant that God's called. That will be the group. They will be caught off the earth, and their lives will be changed physically. They'll be transformed into a supernatural being. The ones that are dead and walked with Christ all these years before that, well, that'll come first. The dead will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain in Christ, as I said, what, will be caught off the earth to go to glory. And we're going to be in heaven for 7 years, and we're going to see all this terrible devastation that's going to happen upon the earth. Just think about how bad it's going to be in the world when the church is caught off the earth, the true church, and we're the only restraining force really in the entire world, is the Holy Ghost within us to fight against evil and all the things we see. Well, when we're gone, the Holy Ghost won't be gone, but we're going to be gone. We're the restraining forces holding a lot of that back today. When we're gone, just think how rapid it's going to go and go the wrong way. So it's important that we get in there. We want to get in there and be the wheat that comes out of that field in the world. That's the one. When angels come and reap the earth, we want to be in that part. We want to be what? The wheat that's going to be taken out. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. And I want to mention one other thing as we're talking about this. It's very important to know the scriptures reveal so much. We have to remember this if we talk about this. When I read my, everybody calls it the Old Testament. I hate that term. I call it the new covenant, but what? And it's not the old covenant. It's not old. It's the first covenant. We need to honor the first covenant as well. And so we have to keep that in mind. And so all the scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and all, who was God talking to during this time? He was talking to Israel, his people, the Jewish people. That's why He's given them that 7 years of grace and mercy to give them an opportunity to come to the Messiah, their Savior. You know, He came once for them, and they missed their visitation, but I'm praying when He comes again at the end, they won't miss their day of visitation. And the key thing is if they come to the Yeshua right now, they'll miss this time called Jacob's trouble. It's not the church's trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It's their trouble. If they come now, they'll be in that first group. Hallelujah. That first group that goes out. And so if not, they have to go through this terrible time called Jacob's trouble. And there'll be a lot of Gentiles on the earth also. They have not made that decision for Christ. When that time comes and the resurrection out from among the dead and the catching away comes, well, then they're going to have to go into that time as well. And even though they don't know the Lord, don't want to know the Lord, well, hopefully during that seven-year period, they can also come to the Messiah as well. And so God's got an opportunity. But the main thing about Jacob's trouble is for His people, the chosen ones, the elect, the Jewish people. So He's given them this additional time. Now, some of them, well, there'll be a great number will come, but the Bible says only will be a remnant. the remnant of those that he calls. That's a sad thing to think about. You can go read Zechariah over there and see what it says over there in chapter 12 and 13, how bad it's going to be at the end. And so his desire is that they all come. But at that moment, at the end, as we talked about a little bit ago, when the gates are closed on the Day of Atonement, that's the day that Yeshua will come and put his foot on the mount, on the Mount of Olives at the close of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be too late, and everybody's fate will be sealed at that time. It's going to be all over. And then the kingdom will be established. And who's going to be in the kingdom? Those that were in the wheat. They were amongst the wheat. That's what we got to keep in mind. So we got a lot to think about here. And so at the beginning, it's very important that, because if this day comes and the people in the world don't come to Yeshua with all these false religious systems all around the world, and they have no clue and don't want to know, if they don't come to Yeshua at that time, they will go into Jacob's trouble as well. And it's amazing when you think about it. So I believe this, that from the scriptures, that the catching away will come one year on a Feast of Trumpets on one of those 2 days. We don't know what year, but we know the time of the year it is. Well, then 10 days after that, what's going to happen? On the Day of Atonement, that's when the clock turns on for Jacob's trouble for those 2,520 days. So it starts on the Day of Atonement. It will end 7 years later on the Day of Atonement when Yeshua comes back. So those 10 days, I believe, from Trumpets to the Day of Atonement, when the catching away comes, I believe this will be when this treaty and all will be put in place that will be there between Israel and this false Messiah. It tells you that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It's going to be put in place, and it will be broken, we know, at mid-trib and all that. And so we have all this, and the Bible is telling us and warning us and showing us all this. So if we don't know about God's appointed times, those 7 appointed times he gave us in Leviticus chapter 23, and understand there was a historical point with it, we know, and understanding, but it's also got a prophetic understanding to the last of the last days, and that's where we're at right now. We're coming up on this. Could it be this year? Here we are, almost midsummer. Could it be this year that the Lord would come back? Could it be? So we need to be ready all the time. You know, people say, well, he can come at any old time. Well, I don't believe that's really true according to the scriptures. He has a specific time. It tells us in Galatians chapter 4, I think verse 4, it says Yeshua came at the appointed time, born of a woman under the Torah. Hallelujah. It was an appointed time. It wasn't any other time. And in my book, I show a study on that. From the time that Adam was on the earth, you go exactly 4,000 years and you come to the point when Yeshua was born. Hallelujah. And so then we have this 2,000 years that we're in the midst of right now, and we're almost to the end of that. He's going to bring us out to the 6,000-year point, and then God's going to bring his judgment upon the earth. But see, if we know the Messiah and we walk with him, there'll be no judgment that's going to come upon us. We will not be judged. We won't be judged. The only way we're going to be judged is when the Bema Seat comes. When we caught off the earth, we'll stand before the Lord one day. And we're not going to be judged for sin, because if we were sinful, we wouldn't be standing there before him. But we're going to be judged for what we've done with our life with Christ. Well, what was our motive? What was our attitude? What was the reason we did the things we did for the Lord? That's what we're going to get our reward for. And not for judgment or for salvation, because we've already been there. You know, we've already been there. If we come to Christ, we're born again. Otherwise, we wouldn't be standing before the Messiah. But we're going to get rewards, the Bible makes it quite clear, for the things that we've done in the Messiah, in his time with us. So I think it's very important. So we need to get people on fire. Well, where I want to close that a little bit here today, talking about this, I'm going to go over to the book of Revelation. Now remember, the book of Revelation, we mentioned up front there, it's referring to trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and to tabernacles. And so in chapter 14, we're going to see something very interesting here that God is revealing for you and I to help understand this thing about the reaping of the earth by the angels. Okay, now let's go look at this. Now the first place I want to go, though, I'm going to be in Revelation 14. I want to go to Isaiah 63, verse 3. So I'm going to back way up back here. I should have marked it here in my Bible so it wouldn't take some time, but that'll give you an opportunity to think about what I'm talking about. Salvation is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. Isaiah 63:3 says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Whew, this is in Revelation 19, verse 13 as well. And it says in verse 4, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. He's going to redeem us. So I took you to Revelation 14. I'm going to close here. Now, for time's sake, where do I want to go here? I'm going to start in verse 13. Now, listen to this closely. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. This will be referring to the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble, I believe. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Good works we want. Amen? Yeah. Verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So who is the Son of Man here? This is Yeshua the Messiah. Now this word crown, a golden crown, this is a word in the Greek that means a victor's crown, and the Messiah will have a victor's crown. Amen. Now, verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple, where in heaven, crying with a loud voice to him. Who's the him? This is Yeshua, that said on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. We read in Matthew 13, reaping the earth, okay? And reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Now, what is this? Is this a judgment here? No, I believe this reaping here is going to be for salvation, and it's going to be on the Day of Atonement. Now, look at verse 16 now. And he, this is Yeshua, that sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. These people were all reaped. These were all believers. They were all reaped for what? For salvation. Hallelujah. Because we're talking about all the people that died during Jacob's trouble and all that. They come to the Messiah. They have to come to the Messiah. There's no other way. Now, verse 17. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. What was this one for? This is to bring judgment, okay, upon the earth. For the people that didn't come to the Messiah for the purpose of judgment. Now, in verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him. Who's the him here? This is the angel that had the sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Whew. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even into the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, which is about 184 miles. And so here, this is a symbol, all this, of judgment, of the judgment that's going to come. So we think about it. Now, I'm going to go over to Revelation 19 now with you. Hallelujah. And Isaiah revealed a lot of this here. Where do I want to start here? I want to start in verse 10. This is how we started our ministry here. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. See, this blood is not from the cross. This is from Armageddon, what's going to happen at the very end. And his name is called what? The Word of God. This is Yeshua. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. My desire for all you that's listening to this program, that you will be in that group. You'll be walking, you'll be in that remnant. You'll be in the body of Christ, walking with the Messiah, and we're all going to come back with him, the angels, and all the believers in Christ. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and we know it's the word of God, huh? That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We just read that in chapter 14. Isaiah talked about it also. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's when he'll truly be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, all the birds, huh, that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, this is the false Messiah, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against the army. This is on the Day of Atonement. And the beast was taken, the false Messiah, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. This is his word. And all the fowls were filled with his flesh. That's it. So we see the conclusion, all of it. And, you know, chapter 14 shows the reaping that Jesus talked about over in Matthew chapter 14. It's all there. So if we just walk with the Lord, read his scriptures and understand it, you know. And by the way, we're looking here in Revelation. Those that come to Yeshua the Messiah will not be in this time frame in the future. Okay? Keep that in mind. This is not for the church, the ecclesia. Anyone that belongs to Yeshua, Messiah, you know, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, when you come to the Messiah, your time will end right back here on this earth. You will not go through Jacob's trouble. Chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Revelation says this. John said, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door." Now this could be a door or also a picture of a gate, "which opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were as a trumpet." The voice of God is like a trumpet, "talking with me, which said, come up hither." It's revealing what? Resurrection out from among the dead, and also catching away. "And I will show thee things which must be" what? "Hereafter." After the church age. And so from this point on, we don't hear anything mentioned to the church at all till we get to the very last chapter when Jesus talks again. The first three chapters is showing all the types of churches that will be down through the ages from the time that John got this vision and all, and from the time that Yeshua was on the earth. Shows what God's promising for all those. And there's a promise as to be an overcomer in all areas, and you'll have these rewards. But from chapter 4 on, then what happens? Everything changes. Now he's turning to the nation of Israel. So we got to keep these things in mind, keep it in order. And we have people teaching all the time, you know, referring to stuff with the church over here in the book of Revelation. We're not in the picture at all. Let's just look at this for a moment. I'm going to go over to Revelation chapter 22 with you for a moment. See, we've been, when this happens, you and I, the believers, will have been in heaven with the Lord for what? For 7 years. So let's look at this at the end here. I'm in Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to read starting in verse 10. "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." So they're getting to the point where they can't change any situation that they're in. It's got to be the closing of all of it. All right, that's why God gave them those extra 10 days of grace at the end, from trumpets to the Day of Atonement. Now look at verse 12. "And behold," this is Jesus now speaking, "I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Hear this. "I am the Alpha and Omega." He's also the Aleph and the Tav. "The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." Now he talks about the church like we saw in the beginning, chapters 1, 2, and 3 in Revelation. "Unto his," what, "churches, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." Isn't that incredible when you think about it? So, all before this in the book of Revelation, after chapter 4, this is all referring to what God's going to do with the nation of Israel. We, if you're a true believer, you're not going to be a tare. You'll be the wheat. You'll be gathered in the barn. And you'll get to see all these things from heaven. It's probably going to be a sad day for us to see down on the earth and watch what's going to happen to people that don't believe, or that are backslidden, or don't take it seriously, and misuse the things that God gave us. You know, everything we have in this book is holy, and he wants us to know that. And so we got to keep our hearts pure and holy before the Lord in everything that we do. And if we do, we'll be in a good place. So this is kind of a warning today to you listening on the radio. It's a warning to get serious with God, do the things he's asking you to do, and spend time with Him, talk with Him, listen to Him, and He's gonna direct your life in every area if you'll just allow Him to do that. Amen? Seek first. It says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things will what? Be added unto you. So that's what we want to know above all things. Amen? So I'm going to go back to Matthew 13 here for a moment. Hallelujah. As He explained this parable to everybody, and you can read this for ourselves, but I keep saying this, right here when He's talking about it, we, the church, the ecclesia, will not be here. Remember what I said up front, God has a 7,000 year plan from Adam to the end. What? To restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall. And so He's got two programs running at the same time. I keep sharing this on the program. I know this is sinking in with people. I hope it is. He has a program for the church, the ecclesia, Jew and Gentile, in the Messiah. And He has a program also for who? For the nation of Israel. We can read that over in Romans chapter 11. When the fullness of the Gentiles come in, then He's going to turn to Israel. So we got two programs going at the same time. And God will fulfill them. And so we got people today that don't believe that God's going to do anything with Israel. He's done with him. Israel is the barometer of God's heart. That's where His fingerprint is. Everything. That tells you the barometer in the world, what's going on in the nation of Israel. And so we thank you, Father God, that we believe that. And God is not done with the Jewish people. He's just getting started good with them. And a lot of them are coming like now. Never before. They're coming to Yeshua the Messiah. So we praise God for that, and we want to be a part of that. We want to help them to understand the Word of God. And this entire book that we have is for the Jew and the Gentile, not just one group. And so we thank you for that, Lord. Well, I'm running out of time. This goes by so fast. But I enjoy being here with you. And we've been on now for 20 years on WCNO Radio this week. And so we're honored to be here with you. And so as we think about closing this program, I want to reiterate that it's necessary. It's so important that you realize that you have no life without the Messiah. You might be alive right now, you know, physically, but you have no real life. I'm talking about spiritual life. You either know Him or you don't know Him. If you know Him, you're going to live for eternity with Him. If you don't, you'll be separated from Him for eternity in a bad place. And so remember, there's a heaven to gain, and it's only through Yeshua, and there's a hell to shun. HaSatan wants to destroy all of us, but he's not going to do it if you walk with him. Walk with him is the Yeshua. I'm not talking about the devil. You walk with the Messiah, and you'll have no concern about that. When that day comes, you'll go with all the rest of those that walk with the Lord. But remember, the Bible talks about, it's called a remnant. A remnant is a very small number of people. So I love you. We're going to close this program today. We thank you for listening to us today. So we tell you every week to think about the things we've talked about. Put it in your heart. Walk with the Lord. Look up every day. Because as we do, we know that each day that we're alive, our redemption draws closer each and every day. So as I close, I say, we love you so much. God bless you. Have a great day.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.